This is KRCU's Going Public, and I'm Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson. In recent months, the topic of health care and the legislation surrounding it have been a hot-button issue. But in rural communities where social and economic disparities create barriers for families, access to quality health care becomes even more of a challenge. So today, we're taking a step back and assessing what the health needs for Southeast Missourians actually are. To do that, I'm joined by KRCU's Vital Signs panel, Dr. Gloria Green, who is the chairperson for the Department of Nursing at Southeast Missouri State University, Dr. Linda Garner, an associate professor from the Department of Nursing, and last but not least, Des Marino, an assistant professor in nursing here at Southeast, all of whom have a wide range of health expertise in this region. Thank you all so much for joining me. I want to start out by asking you all this question, and I'll start with you, Dr. Green. How would you assess health in Southeast Missouri?
I think there is a problem with access to health care in Southeast Missouri. Probably the lower you go in the boot heel, the more the problem exists, particularly in certain types of health care in the more metropolitan areas. I mean, Cape Girardeau's a rural city, but health care is good, I think. But I think there are areas of Southeast Missouri where there is poor access and limited provision.
Now, what about you, Dr. Garner?
Well, on I guess on a scale of 1 to 10, I would say maybe a 6. I think that access is certainly an issue, but the emphasis is mostly on access to acute care. I see deficits in prevention efforts, health promotion efforts in communities really throughout our region.
What do you mean by that?
Maybe too much of an emphasis on wait until you're sick to pursue health care versus an investment in your health across the lifespan, you know, with a focus on staying healthy from an early age.
Mm-hmm. And what about you, Ms. Reno?
Well, I would agree with both my colleagues, but also I'm a gerontology specialist, and so my concerns are about the older adult population, and we have a large number of older adults in the boot heel that is comparable to the national average, and therefore that brings with it some unique issues related to chronic care disease management and the availability of specialists in the boot heel that those individuals, as well as others, have access to. It's limited in terms of available specialists in disease management. For example, there are no gerontologists in this area, and to access a gerontologist, you have to go to St. Louis in Missouri or go into another state to access that kind of care.
Well, since you brought up the boot heel, one thing that will come to mind is poverty. And according to the most recent Missouri Health Assessment Summary from the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services, the Southeast region of the state has the highest poverty rate in the state. From your experience in the field, what other social and economic factors play a role in how we assess health in this region of the state? I'll start with you, Dr. Garner.
Well, I certainly think that you know, we lead the nation in health status areas for improvement in the boot heel. Specifically, I'm talking about high infant mortality rates, cancers, heart disease, higher than state averages occurring on a regular basis. And even the programs that we have, as I said earlier, you know, with more of an emphasis on illness care versus health-related care and prevention, and just the outreach that it takes to reach the populations that are perhaps suspicious of healthcare providers. Really, an emphasis on just health literacy, understanding what it takes to be healthy and to keep your family healthy.
We'll come back to the concept of health literacy later on in this conversation. But Dr. Green, I want to ask you, Are there any particular factors, unique factors, that play a role in how we see health?
Well, I think Dr. Garner touched on a couple, one of which is there are some cultural practices that I think lead to some suspicion of or fear of some healthcare providers. Southeast Missouri has in the past been leading the nation in methamphetamine production and sale. Certainly, you know, that is part of not only what impedes people's access to healthcare, but one of the reasons that we see a lot of healthcare issues is the use of substance abuse. So I think just some of those unhealthy practices, and substance abuse being a huge one.
Well, how can physicians build trust within their patients or within the medical community in general, build trust within people within their community so that they can have that dialogue without fear with their health concerns?
Well, one is I think we need to have a more, access to public health programs that can provide for education where many of the citizens of Southeast Missouri may not necessarily have a health care provider in a clinic like what we're used to having in the areas that we live in. The public health agencies within those counties that are in the more impoverished areas, I think, are critical to providing access to information and education and to a health care provider, whether that be a nurse practitioner or if it's one of the federally funded clinics, then access to a physician that can provide care.
Now, we're talking about access to physicians, and there was something, St. Francis recently did their community needs assessment, and something that caught my attention was that there is a shortage in health professionals in the areas of mental health, primary care, and dental health. Why are physicians not coming? Why are there not a lot of resources for those specific things here?
I think part of it is because of the poverty levels, the reimbursement that physicians get for providing patient care is pretty low if we're looking at Medicaid funding, for instance. The nursing department is a liaison for the Showmobile, which is a dental van. Mm-hmm. That travels throughout the Boot Heel and in school districts, providing free dental care to children. And, you know, they're finding things like kids sharing toothbrushes with their siblings and no toothpaste in the house and no real understanding of how to take care of teeth. And I'm not sure the physician is the place where that education occurs. You know, the Showmobile goes into the schools and does some teaching and does some care. I think that's one of the reasons nurse practitioners are so valuable in healthcare in an area like the Boot Heel, because they spend time and they do education and they're out in the community where a physician's time is more localized perhaps and limited in terms of the number of hours or minutes even that they can spend with a patient.
Well, Missouri is rural all over, and there are some parts that are more rural than others. But for some reason, the Boot Heel is always that standout point for when you're talking about poverty, when you're talking about drugs, when you're talking about lack of access to care. Ms. Reno, I'm going to ask you, from your experience, what makes the Boot Heel so unique to some of these issues?
Well, it's unique because of the geographic location, for one. There is a lack of jobs. The lack of industry in these areas, which help to promote for health care for workers that are located in those areas. And we've had, you know, recently even factories that have closed that have increased the number of uninsured and unemployed in our Boot Heel. So I think the economic factors are a big thing. They're just the jobs and the attraction to companies to come to this area are just not as attractive to the companies as a whole. The available health care providers is limited, as you know, stated previously. And so while there are some other opportunities for us to expand that, we have some barriers. And for example, the use of nurse practitioners, the way that Missouri law is written at this current point, nurse practitioners have to have a collaborating physician in order to practice within a certain area. And we've had difficulty with some nurse practitioners obtaining those collaborating physicians. And without that, the way the law is written currently, that, you know, puts us at another disadvantage. So some of it's related to the regulations that are written about these barriers pertaining to healthcare providers, such as the nurse practitioners, and then I think the economic issues as well.
Can I add, the Boot Hill is agricultural for the most part, and it also has a number of towns that have been river towns and railroad towns. And I think those are not jobs that people eagerly seek. You know, it used to be that there were generations of families who worked for the railroad or who worked on the riverboats. Mm-hmm. And you just don't see that anymore. So I'm not sure that that region has adapted to other kinds of jobs, other kinds of income. And they have, we've lost that sort of rail town or river town because transportation changes and goods are being shipped all kinds of ways. And so I think their environment has changed, and I think it's been hard for the culture to change with it.
Dr. Garner, what are your thoughts on this?
We're experiencing nationwide growing discrepancies between urban health and rural health. And I think that the Boot Hill, the southeastern part of Missouri, has maybe been the way it is for all the reasons mentioned here, and maybe now we're seeing that you know, across the United States. But I would say too that it's a real testament to the one size fits all just doesn't work when it comes to the health status of communities. And many of our systems of care are designed for one size fits all. And so, for example, school-based healthcare centers have been somewhat controversial in Missouri, whereas you can look to other states that have large rural populations and they're very successful. So I think just the moving past the mentality of one size fits all is very, very important as we go forward with really looking at some of the root cause of disparities in Southeast Missouri. As that, I believe we're going into an era where we are going to be thinking outside the box, and that's positive. It's just unfortunate that it's taken such a long time to realize that really the health status of a community needs to be addressed in a very customized, individualized approach.
And one thing, like going back to the poverty concept here, just because you have health insurance doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to, I guess in some ways, just because you have health insurance doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have access to it. Why is that? For anyone
well,
can answer.
I could start with that by saying, well, you know, insurance information and dialogue about that can get very complicated, but there are networks, you know, that we have to live within for our, if we're employed, you know, we have a network where our insurance is received and honored within the network cost. And so you have to really monitor that for yourself as an employed individual. You know, I do something with that every week and making sure that when I'm seeking health care for a test or to see a new physician, that that individual or that organization is within the network. Same thing can go for those individuals who have access to Medicaid. And while children with Medicaid, yes, they're covered, but yet not all providers will accept Medicaid. Not all providers will accept Medicare for the care of older adults and disabled as well. And that's been reported time and time again, where individuals who have coverage for Medicare contact a healthcare provider and they say, well, we're not taking any new Medicare clients or we're not taking any new Medicaid clients. And for children in this area, it has been a problem, again, with specialist care and the lack of that. So many of our children who need specialized care who have Medicaid coverage may have to go to St. Louis or maybe Memphis or other places to seek that care.
Go ahead, Dr. Green.
An area where that is probably perhaps more apparent than many is mental health access,
mm-hmm.
because not every insurance policy covers mental health. And even for Medicaid patients, they have a limited number of visits with a healthcare provider, whether it's a psychotherapist or psychologist. Many times those far too few visits, like 10 visits, an hour apiece, to solve a suicidal tendency or a clinical depression. That's not enough coverage. But yet, once the insurance coverage plays out, then the patient really has no place else to go. And that's true as much for children in Medicaid as it is for adults who might be covered. So I think there is access, but it's not pure access.
So basically, not all access is equal access.
Absolutely.
Since not all access is equal, Dr. Garner, how would you address something like that?
Well, I think that we're coming to understand that really good outcomes are related to access and continuity, that the models that have been used not just in Missouri but across the nation as to how we deploy healthcare workers to underserved parts of the state, it's a built-in rotation. That physician or that provider may be there for a certain amount of time and then they rotate out after their payback agreement has been fulfilled, and so then there's a new provider. And I think that we're seeing that the outcomes associated with that model are short-lived, that so many of us, to really get at the root cause of a mental health issue or any family issue for that matter, it's about the relationship and the continuity of that relationship, that trust that develops over time as a provider that's part of the community, not someone that's providing a service to, but coming alongside the community and saying, I'm here to stay and I'm here because I want to be, and mm-hmm. the relationships that develop over time, that pays big dividends that we're just really beginning to understand.
So for those who can't afford health insurance at all, and sometimes they'll find themselves in the ER, and many of these things are avoidable. From your experience, is it the lack of access to healthcare that's continuing this cycle of people going to the ER for preventative things that could be taken care of at a doctor's office? Dr. Green?
Well, I'm an old ER nurse, and so you kind of took care of whoever comes in the door. But that is not a recent development.
Mm-hmm.
People have always used the emergency room as their doctor's office because they can't be turned away.
Mm-hmm.
They can't be forced to pay at the window. And they know they will get care. The frustrating part of that from the emergency room department's perspective is there's no follow-up. So they may or may not take the medication that was prescribed. They may or may not follow the treatment. But you won't know that until 3 months from now they come back with a complication or something worse.
How do we as a community break that cycle of not following up?
Well, I think that gets to the point of the continuity of the relationship. And there are models here in our own community where registered nurses provide that community-based case management. Yes, that individual or that family may be using the emergency department as their point of entry, but they can certainly be followed up once they're back in their own home by an individual, a registered nurse or another healthcare provider that establishes the relationship and can begin to have the conversation about what are the things that you can do to prevent from having to go to the emergency department. And that really is more of a case management function, and it provides that continuity, that point of contact, that's your advocate in this whole process. That behavior change takes a lot of investment of time and energy. And we want to see quick results. And the bottom line is those behavior changes take time.
Well, Dr. Green, Dr. Garner, and Ms. Reno, thank you so much for joining me. That's our show. You can find part one of this discussion on our website at krcu.org or find us on iTunes to hear this podcast. Tune in next week as we continue our discussion with our panelists. I'm Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson. Join me every Friday night at 6 and Sundays at 3 for KRCU's Going Public.